The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Peggy, let's hit him big time.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
You better get ready because we're going to show up and show up.
With John Lopez and Reggie Atitula. Always live.
Love it. Love it.
Always local.
Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion.
You're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader, Sports
Yeah, welcome in. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610 on a reaction Monday after the Texans fall to the Detroit Lions in last-second fashion, 26-23 on Sunday Night Football. Let us know what you think. We got the YouTube and the Twitch both available to you, and, of course, the 5-Hour Energy fan line, courtesy of 5-Hour Energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610 and football superfans. 713-572-4610 is the number to get involved. You got John Lopez, you got Figgy Fig, myself, Reginald Atitula, here with you to talk about this game. And this was ostensibly, like, this is a win against a loss, mm-hmm. 3-point loss against one of, if not the best teams in the NFL. If I just told you that, especially if I just told myself that last week when we were leading up to this game, I think we would have all felt one type of way. For some reason, does not feel like that's the way that we are feeling after this.
Yeah, no, look, if you'd have told me, hey, the Texans are going to lose, but it's going to be 26-23, I'd have said, well, all right. You know, that sounds like there was some progress made, right? There was briefly some progress made. I think where we need to start, though, with that in mind,
mm-hmm.
because if you'd have just told me the score, as I mentioned, I think everybody listening, everybody watching, everybody who hears our voices would have said, okay, that's a team that's starting to go in the right direction. They're not going in the right direction. That's where I am right now, because for all the things that the shortcomings that we've talked about this year, okay, the offensive line problems, just go down the list in your mind's eye, you know, just picture all the problems that we've talked about, all the falling just short of expectations that we've talked about. The Texans have never been embarrassed. The D'Amico Ryan's team, I should say, has never been embarrassed. They are embarrassed today. Texans fans are embarrassed today.
You know, you wouldn't say the Vikings game was.
Well, last week.
No, but I'm talking about like the Vikings game. You got flat out run. You know,
it wasn't
a matter of the Jets was just like you were awful and the offensive line stunk. But I'm talking about like just in terms of winning a game 23-7 at the half and then losing that game when you got 5 interceptions. That's humiliating. It's one thing to get run off the field. I mean, that's going to happen. You don't hope it does, but it does. It's one thing to just have a performance that is just awful. And maybe there's some levels of embarrassment there. You got 5 interceptions.
Plus three.
Plus three
in the turnover. Against a team, mind you, that came into this game as the single best turnover differential team in the league in the Detroit Lions.
You could not have started the game any better than you did. You got the best possible performance for the most part, especially in the first half, from your defense. You got contributions from role players stepping up.
John Mechie, man.
We'll get to John Mechie in passing thoughts.
Good gracious,
I have a comparison in my life regarding John Mechie that I think you'll agree with. Role players stepping up. C.J. Stroud could not have looked more like 2023 C.J. Stroud for the first half. And then you lose that game?
Yeah, and it's kind of incredible because I know that you were saying that, look, they have not progressed or did not feel like they progressed in this game. There's definitely some places where you go, there was progress there. Mm-hmm. The problem is, it's not all the way around.
Yeah.
And one of the big issues that popped up again was the second half stuttering that happens with these Texans, where in the last four games, they've scored all of, 15 points. None of those touchdowns. In the second half, at one point during this game, I turned to Sean Pendergast, and I go, hey, what's the tally, right, on touchdowns? And he gives me that big old zero because this has been an issue. It's the same kind of issues that continue to pop up with this Texans team, and it does make you start questioning, right? Like, this is supposed to be kind of a stress test. This was supposed to be a little bit of a measuring stick contest against a very good team in the Lions. And in some ways, you showed up and showed that you have the capabilities that we all anticipated for the entirety of this season, right? Yeah. That you can go and you can play with them. You can be a turnover defense, right? You can do all of these things. But in other ways, you showed that some of the faults are still going to show up, right? Some of the things that we were talking about early on in the season with this Texas team, all just finding a way to win. You're doing that against some teams that, I don't know, don't feel that great about.
Yeah.
These are the instances where the Lions, I was watching Dan Campbell in the locker room after the win, and he was saying, hey, this is what good teams do. They find a way to win. And in the instances where against teams that you would have to play in the playoffs, against these caliber of teams, the Texans have not found ways to win. In fact, on this occasion, they found a way to lose.
Yeah, and you know, you talk about the culture that D'Amico Brian's brought. He's embarrassed about it today. Like, he's got to be embarrassed because that wasn't a winning culture in the second half. You know who had a winning culture? The Detroit Lions. They were down 23-7. And Dan Campbell comes out during his interview, during the airing of his interview, when he says, well, we need some more turnovers. Boom, get a turnover. That was the and they use this word a lot when describing the Lions, you know, the grit that they had. That was like, you know, you talk about the Vikings game. You come back from the Vikings game and you say, all right, that's sounding the alarm. We have a lot of things to fix. And okay, you know, that happens. Jets game, boy, was this line bad, the worst it's ever been. We got to make some wholesale changes, and they did, you know, putting Juice Scruggs at left guard and Patterson at center. But you come out of this game when you had every right to win that game. There's no way you should have lost that game. No way you should have lost that game. And you spit the bit, especially in the second half. That's just an embarrassment. I mean, that's just an absolute embarrassment. It was ghosts of Texans past. You know, this felt like a game that the Texans, that we've seen this, a bad, you know, Texans team or a team that fell short of expectations would do. And that's where it just, it's almost drawing board time. I know they've made some things, they've corrected some things, and maybe the line's going to get better. There were a lot of pressures in the second half, man. You still got sacked four times. You still had nine pressures on C.J. Stroud. He was still kind of seeing ghosts, you know, in the second half. This was just absolute humiliation.
Yeah, for lack of a better term, does this team have any semblance of a killer instinct? These are kind of like the nebulous things that I'm not great at handling at times, is the idea of like killer instinct, because how do you quantify that? How do you qualify that per se? But it's hard to kind of fight against somebody who's willing to put that up as an explanation for why the Texans have seemingly found themselves in this place time and time again over the course of this season. Is when the going gets tough in some of these instances, particularly as evidenced by the idea that in the second halves they're not putting up touchdowns, that they're barely putting up points in this stretch of games. Do you believe that they have any level of killer instinct or the ability to put teams away late in games?
I mean, you know.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Early on, when we're talking about the Texans are, you know, this successful in one score games, it makes you feel like maybe not killer instinct, but certainly an ingredient to be able to win these games. That alone has changed right there. And you know, let's talk to the people here, you know, the fans and people watching and listening. I mean, I talked about this might be a tipping point game, and maybe it was. Like, do you feel like this team is different? Do you feel like this team is one of those teams that, you know, is going to be able to be a big time threat, you know, at the highest level? I don't know if anybody can say that.
No, I mean, like, especially not as currently constituted. And do you feel like as the refrain continues to be, like, we have to be better, that better is not just doable, but will happen for this team, right? Mm-hmm. There's still things. Nico Collins obviously does not play in this game. Joe Mixon, it's kind of shockingly, but also not shocking when you consider, like, the game plan that Detroit came out with and the capability of Detroit to finish, to, you know, mm-hmm. exact a game plan, right? Joe Mixon only with 46 yards on 25 attempts. He does come up with that touchdown, right, which is typically there, but that's well over half of what we typically anticipate when Joe Mixon is out there, regardless of what's happening in front of him, mm-hmm. right? Without kind of those two mainstays, you were still able to put up 23 points, and you had a lot of opportunities courtesy of the defense. And yet, still, like, here you are, a loser on a Monday, in a situation where you absolutely should have gotten a win.
Yeah, and you mentioned D'Amico Ryans, and we're going to be hearing from D'Amico. But, you know, after the game, talking a lot of the same things, we have to look at everything. We've heard that for, what, 3 weeks now? Everything's on the table. We got to look at everything. I mean, you absolutely do. But I think the proper answer here is we are not what we thought we were.
Yeah, I mean, like,
yeah, they're not.
They are not, right? Yeah, like, yeah. There's only so many times that you can have a test in front of you and not have the desirable, you know, effect, a desirable response on the back end of it and say that, well, no, I still got it, right? Like, yeah. Eventually you have to show and prove. And here you are, right? From the 8-3-2, Reggie losing 8 yards on one carry did not help Mixon's stats at all. I mean, sure, but ultimately that's an accumulation, right? You take all of it together. In all of this, so from the 8-3-2, Bobby Slowick can remain on the staff, but strip him of play calling and let him learn more before he giving him the reins again. I'm not sure that shifts what this team is doing. Like, this feels like a full accounting all the way across with this team. Like, mm-hmm. do you feel like this is what you're seeing? The lack of ability to get something done ultimately is a failing of an individual on this team. It feels like this goes so much wider.
Well, we're going to talk about Bobby Slowick because he is definitely a standalone topic, and we'll be talking about that soon. But it's not just one thing. Defensively, it sure would have been nice to have Will Anderson, but the defense played pretty well for the majority of this game. You got those turnovers, you know, and all that. But you also had some plays in which, you know, there were some severe breakdowns. You know, how the hell you get Azeez Al-Shaair on the best receiver on the field in a crucial moment?
Well, you're in zone there. That's what happens there, right? You're in zone, and he finds his
again,
space.
How the heck does that happen? Why is there not? I mean, they had been doing a pretty good job. I mean, he was a nowhere man in the first half. Amon-Ra St. Brown was nothing. And then he ends up with six catches, 60-something yards, and a touchdown or whatever it was. That's just inexplicable. So there's that. So that speaks to it's not just Bobby Slowick. We're going to talk about Bobby Slowick. That's a big problem, and we'll talk about it. But it's not just that. Kyemi Fairbairn with a missed field goal. He's one of the best kickers from beyond 50 yards. Sure, it happens. But we knew that special teams was going to be big in this game.
But that's another instance where you see kind of a consistency from your Texans team of relying on field goals or like
that too,
just getting to a place that where too. you're just decided that, or maybe it's not specifically decided that you're going to kick a field goal, but it's almost resting on the idea that, well, Kaimi's there, we'll kick a field goal if we don't get there, without the aggression to actually go and pick some of these things up. I know that one of the things that came up was that decision to kick the field goal there, right? Where 1:56, the opposition has two timeouts, it's 4th and 4. And it's like, do you go for it there? Do you not go for it there? I was looking at some of the models, which get a little wonky towards the end of the game, to be fair. But kicking the field goal was slightly above going for it in that situation. So, like, if you want to lean on the analytics of it all, did you feel like this team was capable of picking up those 4 yards? How did you feel about that decision to kick? Because I know it was a topic of conversation up in the box.
I think, you know, it was definitely worthy of going for it. I honestly, if I'm just being honest here, I didn't really feel too bad about it with Kyemi Fairbairn. And maybe that's the problem. That's what they do. They fall back on that as well. And that's part of the issue. But beyond that, it's also just, you know, sort of the resting on the laurels of the first half and being, you know, so careful offensively. And the offensive line got better. The offensive line wasn't good, though, overall. I mean, Joe Mixon was just getting crushed. You can talk about 1 8-yard loss all you want. That wasn't it. He was consistently.
He was running into a wall.
He was consistently running into a wall.
And it
wall.
Was a different wall than other times, right? Other times, you run into a wall, he has a space to bounce out of. Like, I think that portion was a concerted effort by the Lions to be able to know the opponent, right? In this instance, it's your Texans, the idea that, hey, Joe Mixon creates a lot of yardage, but it's not just off of the, you know, the designed play of the run. Now he's going to bounce this out into fine space and then pick up a lot more yardage. They shut a lot of that down in the course of this. Just a tough game. I know many people texting in saying they're disappointed, they're embarrassed by this. If there's one word for you to describe how you felt about this 26-23 loss by the Texans, what is it?
I said at the start, that's an embarrassed. That's an embarrassing loss. I mean, good teams don't do that. Good teams don't blow a 23-7 lead. If the Lions were up 23-7 at the half, what's the final score? That's what's embarrassing. Yeah,
probably 37.
That's
probably
put what, see, a couple now you're more pressing on my buttons here, man. Now you're pressing.
I'm answering the question. What do you mean?
Like, well, like if the Lions were up 23-7, that's a 38-17 game.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
The Texans don't have it. They don't. They're not the team we thought they were going to be. Period. Paragraph. Next topic.
I thought there was a red flag when they kicked that field goal at the end and Kyemi missed it.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't like it was 5 seconds left.
Mm-hmm.
It was a lot of time left. Even if he did make that field goal, the Lions were hot.
Yeah.
You couldn't stop that offense. So to me, I felt like they kind of played a little scared. And I don't really believe in kicking a 58-yard field goal with that much time left. And giving it to him midfield.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I mean, this is the tough thing about that. Even if you make that field goal, it's a tough situation.
It's a lot of time.
A lot
like
of time.
A minute 30 left. Yeah. It was like minute 50, minute 30.
Minute 56. And again, right, like that Lions team at that point in the fourth quarter, they had made the decision. They knew, hey, we can big boy him. We can run this football. And they
could not stop him, man.
They were on the ball pretty effectively running
and,
at that
and see,
end.
That,
Gibbs
that,
and Montgomery, man.
And that's, Figgy, that's the big picture. The proverbial 30,000 foot view of this game and this team. That's it. We can parse out all the little things all we want. They're not it.
Well, not just that, right?
They're like not it.
The 30,000 foot view was that during the course of this game, it felt like the Texans start fast and slow down.
Mm-hmm.
The Lions picked up steam as this game went along, and ultimately that's what showed up in a 26-23 victory for the Detroit Lions. And so your Texans 6-4, which interestingly enough through 10 weeks is exactly the same record as you had last year. it just feels a little different. And it's indicative of just how much the framework, how much the framing, how much the expectations change the way a record feels. So there's so much to go through, and I don't even know. We were jumping all around in segment one. So let's kind of bear down and see if we can parse out more of this 26-23 loss for your Texans on a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday. Coming up next, we do as we always do around 10:20. We'll get the OG's passing thoughts. We'll do it next.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula. Wisdom's opinions, barbecue sauce. Our guy Lopez has it all and shares it with you.
I used to go into the clubhouse and I just
It's time for the OG's passing thoughts.
Tell me a story, OG.
All right, there's going to be some good stuff in here, too. But spoiler alert, it doesn't end that well on the passing thoughts today. Let's start with the scene out there, man. That was about as good.
Did y'all have fun in Detroit?
Ooh, well, we're getting to that, too.
I felt like I was in Detroit.
I
was looking for a corned beef sandwich, man.
We are getting to that. I actually had one yesterday. We're getting to that, too. But pretty damn cool scene. Something about Sunday Night Football, man, that just gets you... gets everybody going. They got more time to get good and liquored up. And I got to the press box and I went, yeah, this ain't happening, man. I smelled like tequila, beer, and sweat. It was wild.
Dude, they was out there early.
It was wild out in those parking lots.
Yeah, it was like,
man.
I think they got an hour earlier.
Yeah. It was packed out there earlier than usual.
Yeah.
And it doesn't hurt that you had a lot of people descending upon Houston with all the Lions fans. Mm-hmm. I went to Papado the night before. And it was like a table of 30 and a table of 20, and it was Lions fans. They was doing the chant.
It's a pregame party.
Yeah, yeah.
They was doing all of it. And I was like, oh, God, tomorrow's going to be crazy. And it was.
Yeah, it was. Also, the roof needs to be open a lot more.
Yeah.
The roof needs to be open a lot more. But we had a blast out there. I was hanging with the HEB tailgate judging. And, there are certain rules that you just do. When someone asks you to shotgun a beer, you shotgun a beer. When someone asks you to take a tequila shot, you take a tequila shot.
Yeah, and that's how you get in trouble. And man.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
And when a cutie asks you to dance, you dance. Those are the rules.
Yeah, I saw it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Lopez did. Lopez did all those things.
I don't think it's out there.
It's not out there.
It's not out there. But I seen it.
I don't care.
My sources.
If it's out. Oh man, I was killing it.
I got sources, man.
Yeah, I don't know.
Was that a source? I don't remember.
All right. Another passing thought here. And this is still as we're getting into the game, so we'll go through these here pretty quickly. I don't know what to trust anymore with the Texans injury report on Friday. So let's go back. Friday's injury report, Danico Autry and Fuller Fatakasi did not participate Friday.
Correct.
They both started the game.
Mm-hmm.
Nico Collins did participate on Friday.
And then was activated on Saturday.
And did not play.
That is correct.
They said, aha, gotcha.
Okay, well.
Gotcha.
Is it a gotcha?
Is this gamesmanship opposition? What's happening here?
But see, we always go by the thing of if they don't practice on Friday, they ain't playing.
Yeah, but that's a hard and fast rule. And, you know, hard and fast rules can get you in trouble sometimes.
Yeah. But seriously, I don't know what to make of an injury report anymore on a Friday. I'm just saying, they might get a call from the NFL. They might get a call from the NFL.
Hey, man, don't put that out there, man.
I don't have to put it out
there.
Hey,
man, come on.
I don't have to put it. The NFL takes injury. You know this, Reggie. The NFL takes injury reports very seriously, and we know why.
Hush your mouth, man.
And we know why. Gambling.
Now, that's right.
Now they about to find Cal in
hand. It ain't my fault, Figgy.
Yeah, man.
I don't know. It sounded like your fault.
Shut the hell up, man.
You know the NFL is watching, man. They're like the feds.
Watch. We're going to get breaking news about them investigating because of you.
It ain't because of me. The NFL pays very close attention to these things, and that's all I'm saying. All right, first half. I don't know if C.J. Stroud has looked that confident behind an offensive line since last season. That was ballin'.
Well, early.
First half. First half.
Yeah, no, that was one of the things, man. Like, we have not remarked on this yet, and we'll talk more about it later, but they had the little shuffle, right? They had the little switch where Jarrett Patterson takes over center duties, and I imagine it's just they feel he's more confident and comfortable with making those calls.
Yeah.
And pass blocking wise, They were doing it, especially to the point of, like, I was watching for them stunts.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what happens when those stunts come through? They pick those up for the most part.
First half. First half. We'll get to the second half. Another passing thought here. Figgy, I guarantee you Bobby Slowick's favorite movie when he was a kid was Little Giants. This dude, I promise you, he's got the annexation of Puerto Rico in his playbook. He loves him some reverses.
Mm-hmm.
He loves him getting cute. He loves him some getting, overthinking things. You know, why think about something if you can't overthink it? That was some very interesting play calling in certain instances there. That reverse was, it was not just a reverse. It was a deep reverse with a pitch.
Yeah, really. And it was evident. Like, that's the thing that's tough is, with the reverse, you would hope that it's not something that you could see very well. And I also wonder, like, how much I'm affected by being, in the press box and being able to see the field pretty wide. But it's like, it felt like, as soon as that first step gets taken, it's like, oh, man, I kind of see what's happening here.
Yeah.
And it felt like the Lions saw it, too.
Yeah, they did. Another passing thought here. John Metchie is my Dell stock of football players.
You don't get to get back in on this stock, baby. You don't get to get back in on this stock.
Hey, you should really buy in on John Metchie like I did. I should have in Dell stock back in the day. Just when I'm out, he comes up big. And I think he was their best receiver of the night.
I mean, he definitely put up the most yards. Mm-hmm. Like I do wonder, though, what does this say about the offense that we've talked about all the depth, and the depth shows up where guys kind of slide up and, you know, give you more, are fairly effective. Obviously, Tank Dell hadn't had very many yards, and then space is created, and Tank Dell gets to slide up, and he looks like himself again. John Metchie slides up and has more opportunity. Like, it might just be one of those things that we were talking about, not enough football to go around, right? Like, you might be seeing that effort, or... Do we then again need to point to Bobby Slowick, because the assurance was, well, Bobby get the ball around or whatever, and the ball did not get around. It's a couple of guys who get their opportunities.
Yeah.
I was shocked, man. I was seeing Metchie out there. I'm like, you would have thought.
Balling.
You would have thought I saw Reggie out there. I was just like, is that Metchie? Is that number 8? I'm like, okay, that's one catch. Wait, is that Metchie again?
5 catches.
I'm like, what?
Yeah. First ever touchdown.
I would have thought that was Reggie out there balling, man.
He's just my came Dell out of stock. Nowhere. He's Dell. I must say, I'm not going to call Tank Dell anymore. I'm going to call Metchie Dell.
You know what it is? You just need John to be in and then quit on some.
Yeah.
And here they come, right? That's what happens. You did it with A&M already this year.
I did.
You did it with Metchie this year.
Quit
on the Texans. We're going to see him in the playoffs.
And I don't want to have another Monday like this.
See him in New Orleans. All right, so this is one that occurred to me several times over the course of the day. I think Penei Sewell is what Laremy Tunsil thinks he sees in the mirror. It's not. Laremy Tunsil thinks he's all pro, thinks he's the baddest of the bad. And look, he's exceptionally talented and exceptionally good. He ain't Penei Sewell. That dude is a monster.
Correct.
Absolute monster. You know how, how can I put this delicately? A certain type of woman... I say women. It's just first one. Men do it too. Take that selfie from real high.
Yeah.
So it makes them look a little better than they really are.
Got to work the angles.
You got to work the angles, you know, and then you see them in person. You're like, ooh. That's the difference between Laremy Tunsil and
Figgy. Was he about to say butterface? Is that what he was about to say?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay,
I think so.
But Laremy Tunsil thinks he's Penei Sewell, but he's not. He's just not. I mean, it was so obvious in these two. Yesterday it was ridiculous.
Yeah, and the thing
I was going to say, he look in the mirror, he's really Matt Khalil.
Yeah, Matt Khalil.
Yeah, and I think the thing with Penei Sewell is just like, the difference is the apparent mentality. And of course, I'm not covering the Lions, so I don't have this to the same
getting
degree.
Out on the edges.
But it just feels like there's a different kind of mentality that shows up in those as well.
That is a dude. All right, so the reviews on the Texans uniforms were clearly mixed. But don't count Mike Tirico as a fan. Flat out on the broadcast said, terrible uniform.
Really?
Oh, our Italian brethren didn't like it.
Oh, man. Yep. He must be a Crip or something.
He called them terrible.
Oh.
Well, you know what? They were terrible for his purposes because you know what? Sitting up in the press box, them numbers are not easy to tell, right?
That's what he said.
And someone on the text line, the 5-Hour Energy fan line, also made note of this, man. Both of these new jerseys that came in, the Battle Red and then also the H-Town Blue, both had that same issue with them, right? And I don't know exactly what the process is in designing them. They look cool, but the effectiveness for actually determining who is who, a little tougher.
I think their issue is you really got to see them in the spotlight, man. That's what I've been saying from the beginning. I'm like, I got to see these uniforms on the field.
But you can't see the numbers.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think they took that, you know, in consideration when they made these.
Tirico torched them. I went back and listened.
That's shocking, man.
Called them terrible. On air, national television.
No helmets was clean.
Well, that's because he was trying to spot. He was like, who is that down there? Is that Kurt Heinisch? Who was in the middle there?
The best comment I saw on Twitter was somebody who said, these Texans uniforms look like they're from a movie that didn't get an NFL license. Like they have to come up with their own uniform. All right. I thought the lowest, most telling moment of the second half was when the Lions fans affected the Texans offense. Like they damn near should have gone on a silent count. You talk about embarrassing.
There's a lot of them.
Dude.
There was a lot of them.
Was it Schultz? Schultz got a false start because of the Lions fans.
And this is the thing that gets me with that, right? It felt like the vibe of the stadium was different because Lions fans came in and Lions fans are more fanny, for lack of a better term, than the Houston fans. And the Houston fans were then getting up to match all the damn blue that was in the building. But they were in them seats early.
They were chanting.
They were loud. And
it felt like Ford Field, man.
I don't want to start this conversation up again. However, I feel like I'm starting this conversation up again. It made you long for some things.
Yeah. Look, you can talk about, they're late arriving. It's what Houston is. Still embarrassing. Like, I was on the club level. Sorry.
Oh, wow. Ooh, club level.
Sorry. As I was saying those words, I knew it was bad.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, I know you can sell tickets from everywhere, you know, in the stadium. It was 50-50. Like, the club level where there's, you know, the beautiful people that have season tickets and all this other stuff, it was 50-50. I didn't get that at all.
It's so weird, too, because, you know, when I got there, obviously I was there early, but when I went into the building, it was still a bunch of traffic out there, man, and the game was pretty much started.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know a solution.
Last passing thought, and I think we're going to use this in our question of the day. What the hell was Tytus Howard thinking?
That's a great, you know what?
What the hell was he thinking?
That's a great transition, man.
That's a great transition. 713-572-4610 is the 5-Hour Energy fan line. Let us know. What do you think was going through Tytus Howard's head on that play where he single-handedly stripped C.J. Stroud of the football? Again, 713-572-4610. Let's try and laugh about it to keep ourselves from crying. We'll do it next.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Yeah, you're in the loop on a Reaction Monday after the Texans fall to the Detroit Lions on Sunday Night Football 26-23. They're 6-4. And it's time for us to do our question of the day, which is inspired by this football play right here that happened in the fourth quarter.
Stroud gets the snap. CJ with pressure. CJ scrambling out to the left, now back to the right, runs into Tytus Howard. Ball comes out. Somebody's got a fall on it. Texans have it inside their 35-yard line. A disaster on third down.
Tytus has got to stop watching and quitting on plays, watching the action when he gets himself beaten. That's what happens when you just stop and start watching and somebody's still playing. You're trying to get out of the way. You run right back into him.
It looked like Tytus almost pulled the ball out trying to pull CJ with
him. Mark, it happens way too much.
The pulling the ball out or the...
No, he was talking
sitting
about
around watching.
Shout out, Andre.
Hey, I got beat. Let me sit around and watch then.
Yeah, so 713-572-4610 is the 5-Hour Energy fan line. What do you think was going through Tytus Howard's brain in that moment where, yes,
Why am I laughing?
Because it's so dumb that it's funny.
I laughed in real time. I was like, wait a minute. He took the damn ball from him. It was a strip sack. That's what he was thinking. I always wanted a strip sack.
You know what I asked myself? I asked myself kind of out loud, you know, how as one does when you're around kind of people.
Yeah.
I asked myself aloud, did he play defensive end in or defensive tackle or something in high school and have like a flashback where he's like, see ball, get ball?
No, what I think he did, and this is my Fresh Prince of Bel-Air reference, I think he wanted to be the star. So he tried to take the ball from CJ, and remember, he used to be a quarterback. He used to be a quarterback back in the day.
Okay.
So I think he tried to take the ball. Let me launch this down and be the hero.
Let me see it.
All right, let's hear it.
He was Carlton. Listeners. He was Carlton taking the ball away.
What was Titus Howard thinking? And while we're getting those answers, seriously, like the worst part is what Andre was mad. Andre was hot.
Both tackles got beat immediately.
And stopped.
Both tackles got, and I think it was to the point where, and I need to pull this video up one more time for myself.
They stopped on the play.
I do wonder if that snap came in early, because like it's as bad as the offensive line has been. It's hard to believe both tackles getting got, you know, on the jump.
Yeah,
that, to that degree, without some level of, I don't know, shenanigans of some sorts, right? Like factoring in to what happened there, but they both get beat. And then they stop, as you mentioned, and then Titus Howard, like, I guess going back to it, if I'm trying to give him the benefit of the doubt, it seemed like he was trying to protect CJ by, like, putting his arms around him and, I don't know, pulling him away from the defender. I don't know.
But then he turned his hands and grabbed the ball.
I can't.
I would be with you up until that point. Like, he was like, oh, crap, I stopped, I got beat, now I'm embarrassed. Let me try to protect CJ.
But then he
turned his hands and grabbed the ball.
That's the part that got me. I thought he was trying to hold him up or try to prevent him from, you know, taking a 10-yard sack or something like that. But I got confused when he tried to, I think he tried to take it and make a play.
I think he was maybe that's what he was thinking.
This is my chance.
This is my chance.
From the 3,
should have played that music. Dun, 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 dun,
yeah. Dun. From the 3-4-6, Titus Howard was like, me make boo-boo, me fix.
Oh, man, that's a shot.
Let's see. There's Howard thinking, since he can't block the lines, why not join the line? Laramie
can't
thinking
beat them, join them.
Yeah. Somebody said Laramie thinking he Janet Jackson showing up like Freddie Jackson. Wow.
Oh, man.
That's a drive by on somebody that we hadn't even thought about. The 281, Titus had an Al Bundy flashback. I once scored 4 touchdowns in a single game.
He's got his letter jacket. He's still wearing his letter jacket from high school.
281 said it was a lookout block. When you miss the block, you turn around and holler, look out.
And then get me the ball. Give me the ball.
Oh my goodness! For you, like what were you seeing there?
I thought it was just a total mental collapse. Like I think he was embarrassed. I think he knew he stopped and was getting his quarterback killed. And a lot of these players in real time, they start thinking, well, I got to do something. I can't look this bad on film day, you know. So he started all of a sudden tried to make a play. It was seriously, Biggie.
I got you.
This is my chance right here.
You don't have to carry it anymore.
Let me save the day. Give me the ball.
I'll be a hero. I'll be the hero instead of the goat. That's what he was thinking. But what have I been doing this in Houston for 35 years going on? I ain't never seen anything like that. Ever. I was laughing in real time and yet it was a horrible moment, you know? I was like, what in the world? That's an offensive tackle that never touches the ball, and he says, "Here, I got this." You just.
I feel him on that, man. He's not in the spotlight like that. He wants the spotlight too.
Why? That's not his job.
And honestly, you know what? I think he was just surprised because once he got beaten, he was way back there, and then CJ Stroud running for his life bumped into him. He's like, "Oh, CJ, what's happening, man?" And then all of a sudden, his hands end up in the wrong space, and the fall of football
said,
comes out.
CJ, you ain't doing nothing. Let me show you how it's done.
You
know, I was a quarterback in high school, right? Let me take over.
740 said he was just mad, wanted to get his ball and go home.
Is there a moment, has there been another moment that you could recall that had you as perplexed as that one right there? Because I legitimately lost words for a moment.
Yeah. The problem with this one is it was a plan that he had. Like he planned, you know what, I'm going to take the ball, I'm going to be a hero. I'm going to take this 68 yards for a touchdown or however far it was going to be. Because there are other, you know, embarrassing moments that you, it's almost like an effort boneheaded play, like the Rosencopter back in the day.
No, this was an effort boneheaded play because I'm looking at
but
it one more time.
But this was like a calculated is the word I was looking for. Like, I'm going to get the ball from the franchise quarterback and I'm going to do something with it. At least Rosencopter, he was trying to just jump and make an extra yard, and the ball came out.
He was trying to pull CJ forward because CJ was being pushed backwards. He was trying to pull CJ forward, but somehow by the football, I don't know.
Is this worse than the Wattcat?
Yes. The Wattcat was a play that they practiced. It was a bad play. It was horrible to use it in that moment, but we knew that Bill O'Brien and that whole bunch was boneheaded, prone to be boneheaded. This was a... I got an idea. Maybe that's what he was saying. That's what he's like. I got an idea. How about I get the ball?
Is this speaking to Bill O'Brien, is this worse than the play, the fake punt in the Kansas City Chiefs playoff game?
I think yes, for the same reason.
With Justin Reed with a torn labrum.
And that was just incompetence to put Justin Reed in that moment, but they worked on it. They practiced it. They had him.
You don't know, maybe they worked
they
on it.
They practiced on it. Yeah.
You think they worked on this?
Yeah. Tyus Howard stealing the ball and taking off.
3-4-6 is how we're trying to do a hook and ladder play. let's do a hook and ladder to the phone line where my guy Larry and Stafford is. Larry, what's happening, man?
What's going on, Reggie? J-Lo, I don't know what the hell Titus was doing. That is some wild stuff that he did last night. And Andre Ware is absolutely right. We watch Titus stand around, and we watch Laramie stand around. They become spectators like they in the stands with us when they after they hike the ball, man, sometimes. And it's frustrating. But last night, that offensive line did enough.
Mm-hmm.
That offensive line played well enough for them to win a football game. Here's what I want to talk to y'all about real quick. DeMeco Ryans is allowing Bobby Sloyd to put his ass in a bad position, which is making him make decisions based on the silliness that Bobby Slowick is doing. Because when Bobby Slowick is calling an offense that is forcing us to stay in games that we should have blown the doors off of, it forces DeMeco Ryans to do dumbass stuff like when he had a chance to send a zero blitz or Petrie at Jared Goff ass last night at a minute and 40-some seconds left on third down. He put their ass in a zone defense against St. Brown, against our linebacker. That's dumb. But he did the same thing because Bobby Sloyd had us in that position in New York when he put Jalen Petrie on Devontae Adams in New York. Bobby Sloyd is making DeMeco defense have to do silly things when we got a top five, top 10 defense because his sorry ass offense is forcing us to stay in games. And now we have to question whether or not he is hurting CJ Stroud as your franchise quarterback. Of course, CJ missed some plays last night. I'm in CJ ass too because he's not playing the way that we expected him to play because he's an elite quarterback. But it goes back to Bobby Sloyd. I'm not trying to read the end of the book without beginning at the beginning of the book. It's the sorry ass offense. And now we are seeing it come to fruition because we've seen it over a longer period of time now. He's not very smart because Detroit stacked the line to take Joe Mixon away from us. And this bastard ran the football two times under the three-minute mark in the game last night, and we have to walk out of there with a loss when all we have to do is pick up 4 yards for a first down. It's going to always be about Bobby. C.J. Stroud is better at his job than Bobby Slowick will ever be at his job because he's a problem and he thinks he's smarter than everybody, and he tries to force things that just don't work no more, fellas, in our hollow.
Really good call there, and
man, he sounds sad.
And I was going to say it was very much the thoughtful Larry and Stafford, the introspective and opinionated Larry Stafford, not the just mad Larry Stafford, and that says a lot right there. But I will say this, Reggie, the offensive line, I guess you could argue, did enough, but I think the fact that you still were sacked 4 times, pressured 9 times, mm-hmm. and run out of the pocket innumerable times, That's a testament to how low the bar has gotten.
Correct. And that's, the bar has been low. Remember what
it shouldn't be that low.
You remember what my question has been?
Yeah.
Like, can you raise this enough at least to just be not terrible?
Yeah.
Right? Because not terrible, as you saw in for a good portion of this game, you can make some things happen with not terrible, with how good your quarterback is, typically with how good Joe Mixon is. And you would think with a offensive play caller that can then use that as a baseline to work off of. He utilized play action more than he ever has this season, right? Yeah. They almost use as much play action as the Detroit Lions in this game.
We're going to dig in on the Bobby Slowick problem. Yes, I said the Bobby Slowick problem, as Larry and Stafford did, in about an hour and 4 minutes. But I will say this. 4 sacks, 9 pressures. I didn't count the number of times that C.J. Stroud was rattled and out of the pocket. That should not be, you know, the offensive line did enough. I'm not saying Larry's wrong because it felt that way. But we should not be here saying, oh, they did, the offensive line was all right after they had that kind of night. That, the bar is...
That's grading on the curve.
The bar is low when you do that.
And yet, they were close.
Yeah.
That's the thing that's frustrating. Like, even with that, the bar being so low, they were still close. But yes, so far, 26-23, Detroit Lions get the win on Sunday Night Football. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Again, appreciate Larry and Stafford for calling in. Coming up next, let's go around the NFL, where let's at least laugh at some other teams' dysfunction for a little bit. We'll do that next.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.